Strength training can mitigate a lot of those changes and give women the energy they need to not only endure pregnancy, but actually enjoy it and thrive during pregnancy.
Welcome to Fit as a Fiddle. My name is Dr. Sneha Ghazi, and I'm a physical therapist and business owner in New York City. Each episode, we bring you phenomenal guests in the health and wellness industry who share inspiring tips and tangible advice. This podcast is for a community of people who want to keep their mind, body, and spirit healthy and thriving. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please subscribe, review, and enjoy the show. All right, welcome everybody to our next episode. Today we have the Director of Education of Pronatal Fitness, Carolyn Appel, here with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
So I want to talk today a little bit about prenatal exercise. So your company is Pronatal Fitness, which is a nice little twist on the word. And I really want to just get to know your role and what Pronatal Fitness is, what you do as an entrepreneur to help men and women, both I'm sure, in reaching their fitness goals. And it's, I know that you're great because just having a couple of email conversations with you back and forth, I can tell that you're really into it more than let's just look big or let's just feel strong. It's more than that. Yeah. It's feeling healthy, feeling like your body is really supporting you to do the activities that you want to be able to do. And I love that about the approach. So please give us a little bit more background about you and what you do, and let's take it from there.
Okay, great. So I have a background in the fitness industry for about 15 years, working one-on-one with clients. And I also have an athletic background. I was a competitive tennis player for many, many years growing up. So essentially, I had no idea I was going to be falling into this area of pre and postnatal fitness until after I had my son, who's now four. And it didn't occur to me, even though I had taken a pre and postnatal certification when I started my personal training career, it never occurred to me the need and the demand for this very specific population. And not just from an aesthetic sense, not just from wanting to get in shape sense, but it's really a women's health issue. And it's been overlooked for so long. Women are essentially given minimal advice at best, and sometimes very poor advice at worst, that can lead them in directions causing more problems and less good preparation for this massive, physically challenging transition into motherhood. So as I was in the postpartum search for good quality information, I was really disenchanted with what I was seeing. And as someone who is trained to read research a little bit and to be able to decipher good versus bad information out there, I felt that women really had a hard time getting accessible quality evidence-based information in their hands. And it was very coincidental that I happened to meet the woman who had started Pronatal Fitness in 2015. Her name is Brittany Citron. She was coming at it from a bit of a different background. She knew she wanted to move into the fitness space after having been in the corporate world, but she didn't necessarily have the specific training in order to put out the education. She had the desire and she had the infrastructure built. But when we happened to meet, it was a meeting of two great complementary skill sets. And so I bring the education side and really focus on professional education development. So right now we have a live workshop that we do, which is 8 hours, and it's for continuing education credits for fitness professionals, where we teach them all about the rationale for what we call our performance training approach, which is getting women ready for being more successful at being pregnant by exercising in a very particular way. We get them ready for the act of giving birth, which is, of course, very physically taxing. But then we also get them ready for life as a new mom, because that is often overlooked, but the physical demands are new and very strenuous. So we put all that together in a programming framework that's very easy to follow and very specific, so trainers can have an idea of how to progress their clients through this journey and hopefully have them coming out stronger than before. So we do this in a live workshop setting, but we also have an online course that we launched last month, and that's an even more in-depth education, and obviously anyone online can take it. So it really helps us expand our reach as much as possible. That's a bit about what we're doing, yeah.
This is really fantastic. I think this is a direction that we need to go in, combining skill sets like, you know, you and Brittany have so wonderfully. But beyond that, providing opportunities in the 21st century where we can access things online. I think that's a fantastic way to go about things, because the truth is not everybody can meet in one location, but also the reach is greater now. There are people in different states, different countries. You know, New York City really has a lot of resources, but there are people outside who want to get into this field and want to help as well. So I think it's awesome that you guys are doing and launching something that's very accessibly online for people to get into and learn from. This is great.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think the larger guiding force is that we want to have as great of an impact on women as possible. And if we can disseminate the information on a broader scale, then we have a better chance of reaching them.
Exactly. It's so true. That's really the problem right now. And I think that this is a great solution for it. Because is it possible for people who are not in the fitness world, who are just, you know, moms who want to learn more about their bodies?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely. It's open to them as well. And we, you know, we talk in some terms technically, but we explain it and break it down in a very relatable way. So it's not that you have to have years of training information under your belt to understand it. It's very straightforward.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, like, in terms of you working with clients directly, what does that look like for you guys?
So Pronatal actually has a group of certified professionals in New York City, and we have home visits where we send our trainers out to work with pre and postnatal clients. You know, I think in the long term, we may project seeing that growing in different markets in the country. But New York is really where we got started and where we can use it as a way to implement a lot of the educational ideas and see the feedback that we get from these clients. So we're providing them a service, but we also get to get the feedback, which helps to alter and edit the course of our workshops and our education. So we constantly want to be on the very latest cutting edge with an education. So getting a chance to almost have a lab to test your ideas in is so very important, because it's one thing to have a model, but if you're not constantly testing the model to see how well it's standing up over time in a variety of conditions, then you're not really going to know its true value or be able to optimize its value. So I love the fact that we do have this core of trainers in New York. We get a lot of women asking for training. And right now, again, it's only in this market, but eventually, you know, I can see that as we continue to certify more trainers throughout the country, we can create these networks of fitness professionals who can cater to this very deserving yet underserved population.
Yeah. And we were talking about this just moments ago, but I work in the home space as well.
Yes.
So welcoming, you know, it's such an honor to work with my clients, because they're trusting me into their homes and into their life and into their space. But as a healthcare professional, I can use all of the things in their surroundings to help them.
Exactly.
And you can see, I'm sure that you're also looking at the things that they can use on a day-to-day basis, you know, helping. You know, one of the biggest advantages of going to a new mom's home who's maybe just given birth a few days ago or a few weeks ago is looking at that bassinet or that crib and seeing the baby inside and showing them how to pick the baby up. Yeah. That's like my favorite thing to do. Like, you're going to do that multiple times during a day. Yes. Why don't you turn that into a beautiful little squat? It's just an exercise. That's all it is. But you bend over in a certain way that's going to hurt your back. And that's something that you just, it's like untouchable in a clinical setting or in a gym setting. You just can't tap into those very intimate, very personalized kind of care. So could you speak to us about that a little bit in terms of what you do with Pronatal Fitness? I think it's fascinating.
No, that's, we have a great respect for the movements that women do outside of a gym setting or a workout setting. because we can only go so far in terms of our influence within that 1 hour meeting a week or twice a week. But if we can have them paying attention and develop awareness of how to move throughout the day, it is has such a far greater impact. And I love the fact that you're really keying in on some of these, what we call new mom ADLs or activities of daily living. So we call that what you're talking about, we call that the crib reach. So this is actually a pattern that we have our trainers working with their clients on during pregnancy so that they've ingrained good habits. And by the time they get postpartum, they will just be able to execute them in a most efficient, minimally stressful way, because now they're performing them on a body that's gone through the trauma of delivery and all of the months leading up to that, the physical changes. So we are very, very aware of all of those daily activities and how they can accumulate for better or for worse, depending on how they're done.
Yeah, this is fantastic. I really love this space working in someone's home. And I think that your company works very well with that in the population.
Right.
Moms, I mean, I'm personally not a mom yet, but I think that it's one of those things where you have so many different activities going on in that period, right after birth especially, and everything is new because there's a new physical being in your hands, and there's weight to it, there's a way to carry the baby, there's just so many things happening, and carrying the baby with one hand while doing multitasking and cooking or doing something else,
exactly,
breastfeeding while something else, you know, you tend to do all these activities at once. And I always tell my moms, let's do as much before as we can, because it's going to be in your motor memory and your muscle memory, and it's going to translate post-pregnancy, because you would have done it so many times and repeated it over and over again that all of these things, like small things like getting your chin into a good alignment for breastfeeding and not hovering over, and then after the fact, you know, I'll have people who will call me 3-4 months down the line saying, I've been breastfeeding for a few weeks or a few months now, and I'm done. I can't connect, spasmed, and I can't even move. Because it's so much more beneficial to do that beforehand. So I can totally understand it and speak to
that. We put a huge emphasis on carrying. Because as you mentioned, you know, new moms, mostly they're in this position where it's a what we call asymmetrical carry or loaded on one side. So not only training the upper body to endure those long-term type of positions, but also the core. Because if you're loaded on one side, right, especially if you're standing, it's trying to pull your body out of a neutral position into what we call lateral flexion. So if the body wants to get pulled in that direction, we need to train it to resist that pull. So we do things called carries in order to train anti-lateral flexion, developing the capacity in the core to handle getting the forces that want to pull it outside of neutral. Because ultimately, the more time spent outside of neutral in those loaded positions, that can negatively affect a lot of different things, including neck and shoulder, low back, and so forth. So yes, we are very much aware of the amount of carrying. I certainly remember my own experiences trying to, you know, hold baby and cook and clean. And it's amazing what you figure out what you can do with one hand. So anyway, yes, we're very much aware of that. And we really try to emphasize training these patterns during pregnancy so that, like you said, they're fully ingrained and operational by the time she's got to do them postpartum.
Yeah, it's totally new world out there and you got to prepare for it. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things I want to ask you so the listeners really benefit from your expertise and all this fantastic educational material you're putting out there. So what are some of the myths and sort of things that may not actually be true that we hear a lot on BuzzFeed and things like that that's on the internet about exercising pregnancy and postpartum?
Yeah. So this could be a whole topic in and of itself on a podcast.
Oh, yes.
I think, you know, a few of the big ones that I even heard from my own doctor during pregnancy was not to get my heart rate over 140 beats a minute.
Okay.
And This used to be the thinking before we had real hard evidence. And this, unfortunately, this myth has persisted way past the mid-80s when ACOG, which is the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, they changed their position on it. So originally they said, okay, we don't really know, but we're going to put this cap at 140 beats a minute so that we don't put women at potential risk. However, they debunked that in the mid-80s, and yet doctors are still repeating this myth. So it's very important that we don't put one specific number that represents all women, because we all have different fitness levels, ages, experience, and backgrounds. We can't put a heart rate number on women. We also can't put a weight number on women, meaning you shouldn't lift more than 10 pounds during pregnancy, or you shouldn't, you know, run more than 2 miles. You know, these are very arbitrary numbers that can't possibly take into account every woman's situation. So I would stay away from any program or advice you get that tries to limit you to a very specific number or range.
Yeah.
So that's a very typical one we hear. Another one we hear is that Kegels are the solution for everything.
Oh my God.
I'm sure you have a lot more to say than I do on this whole thing. Yes. But it's in well-intentioned advice, but it's incomplete and inaccurate. So the idea that we want the pelvic floor to be strong is important, of course. Mm-hmm. But Kegels are only part of the solution. So many women think of Kegeling as stopping the flow of urine. Well, not only does that only focus on the contraction phase or the concentric contraction phase of pelvic floor, it doesn't deal with the relaxation or lengthening of pelvic floor, mm-hmm. which is exactly what it needs to do when you give birth, mm-hmm. right? So when we're trying to push baby out, the pelvic floor needs to be as relaxed as possible to yield and to allow the passage to occur. If there's any tension in there, that's going to resist a woman's efforts to push down and out. So the Kegels really focus just on that kind of tightening aspect of it, but it's also not getting all of the pelvic floor. It's really just dealing with the front of the pelvic floor, which is responsible for, you know, urine elimination. What about the back and the sides? Right, it's this whole sling of muscles that is at the base of the pelvis, and we need to really address all of it. Just like you wouldn't do a bicep curl, right, just holding in a small range of motion, focusing on the contraction, we need to go through full range of motion to have a healthy, well-functioning muscular system. So those
You're
are some
totally,
of the biggest...
totally speaking my language right now. I just want to keep like snapping and nodding.
So those are some of the most common myths that I tend to see is about, limiting exertion either by a certain heart rate or a certain weight lifted, and focusing on pelvic floor, which is good information to even bring attention to that part of the body where it normally is not discussed at all. However, we need more complete and comprehensive activity that's going to be balancing out the needs of strength, but also elasticity and length.
Yes, I actually give that same example too. I tell people with the bicep, if you kept holding, I know a lot of my patients, if you're listening to this, they're gonna be like, oh yeah, I know, she says that all the time. I always tell people, a tight muscle is not a strong muscle. So if you're holding a 3 gallons of milk in a grocery bag with your bicep curled slightly for 10 minutes. Do you think you're going to be able to beat your 5-year-old in an arm wrestle? I don't think so. I don't think so. You're not going to, because that's a fatigued muscle. It's been overworked and Kegeling over and over and over again all day long, or it just butt clenching and holding all day long does not actually provide you what we call force closure, which is protection of the pelvis. It does the opposite, because now you're so fatigued that any little bang to the system, it could literally just be a trip or a fall. Your SI joint could go off. It could completely shift the alignment in the system because that's a completely fatigued muscle. It's not actually helping you.
So that's a great point. I love that.
Speaking my language with all of this. I really love it. But now on the other side of things. So now there are things that people do that actually are harmful for their bodies during pregnancy, which is really not a myth, and it's actually a genuine concern. So are there serious red flags, big things to avoid? Really, I know it's a little different. You can't really tell somebody, don't go run a marathon while you're pregnant, because there are people who do that. There are people who sometimes are not ready for that. And there are some people who have been training their whole lives. So doing a marathon, maybe in their first trimester, is totally okay for their bodies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But what in your experience are things that you can just off the bat say, let's just not do that? What do you think are those kinds of activities or red flags?
So in general, what I would say is that if a woman is experiencing any leaking or symptoms of incontinence with any activity that she's doing, whether it's impact or not, that would be a red flag to stop. There are women who can tolerate impact and can run even into their third trimester. I would suggest that if at any point a woman is feeling the involuntary loss of urine or fecal matter for that case as well, that's a red flag. That's too much pressure down on pelvic floor with whatever the activity is. It may be that she's breath holding, which is a corollary here. That's a secondary thing that I do not want women doing during pregnancy exercise, is breath holding, because that's going to spike the intra-abdominal pressure, and it's going to add a lot of pressure not only downward on pelvic floor, potentially exacerbating the development of pelvic floor dysfunction, but also outward onto the abdominal wall, which is going to add the likelihood or severity of the diastasis recti, which is a very common thing, and the body accommodates the growth of the baby to expand and stretch. So that's normal, where we have this this widening in the front tissue of the belly. But we don't want to add more pressure by spiking intra-abdominal pressure through breath holding. And so the easy way to avoid that is just by exhaling upon exertion. So anytime, let's say a woman does a squat, rather than inhaling and holding as she goes down and up, she's going to inhale on the way down and then exhale on the way up. So any type of exertion requires an exhale. The flip side of that is a lot of women tend to breath hold and contract or suck in the abs all the time, because they think that's a way of working them and getting them stronger. But going back to your analogy of the pelvic floor and holding in a chronic contraction all the time, right? It's going to cause problems as well. So we need the diaphragm and the belly and the whole body to expand on the inhale, and then it'll contract and flatten out on the exhale. But many, many women, especially in their first trimester, when they don't want to let other people know that they're pregnant and they want to kind of suck in and hold that belly in, that's creating more intra-abdominal pressure, which is adding to the problem that can result later on in diastasis or pelvic floor dysfunction. So kind of giving permission to allow things to be relaxed and let it show, so to speak, and not wear another corollary to this, they're all tied together, is wearing really tight clothing or waistbands around the belly to prevent the full expansion of it on the inhale. So really tight garments can be problematic, especially as women get bigger, because it may preclude proper expansion of the belly and diaphragm on the inhale. They're all related about the breathing and pressure.
Yeah, no, it's so true. That's the first thing I teach my clients. Mm-hmm. Can you do a beautiful diaphragmatic breath? And some people say, oh, it shouldn't just be for your diaphragm, your sides and your back, everything expands. But if you do take that diaphragmatic breath, everything does expand nicely.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, definitely tight clothes, ladies. Let's not do that. If you're pregnant, you're pregnant. Just let it go.
Let it go. Be proud. Be proud and pregnant.
Be proud and pregnant. There you go. Well, I could keep talking to you for like 3 hours, but let's get to one little golden nugget, golden thing. Like, what is the message that you want to share to these women? Because there's so much good stuff that you're putting out there. So what's really a good takeaway that we can give to these ladies?
So I think in general, if we can focus on strength training as being the primary element of your prenatal fitness, that would go a long way to help counteract a lot of the changes your body's going to go through. So in general, you know, if a woman stays within the roughly recommended weight ranges, you know, she may gain between 25 to 35 pounds, even 40 pounds throughout pregnancy. If a woman is not used to moving around in space and performing her daily activities with all that extra load, you can imagine that she's going to have to develop some compensations in her movement patterns. And those compensations are what can lead to pain and injury. So if we can get women strong enough to handle those external forces that are pulling them out of neutral alignment, that want to get them into that very common, you know, kind of sway back position, we call it anterior pelvic tilt, where the belly is just kind of protruding forward and down towards the ground, that we can go a long way to preventing a lot of the pains and injuries that result from that. You know, if you imagine strapping on a backpack in front of you, which is actually what we do in our workshops for our male trainers, this is very eye opening because especially the guys who can squat 300 pounds, all of a sudden we put a load of 30 pounds in front of them on a backpack and they immediately feel the changes that their body has to go through to accommodate that load and shift in center of gravity, right? Yeah. If they're not used to wearing that load, then they're going to start feeling the effects right away. But strength training can mitigate a lot of those changes and give women the energy they need to not only endure pregnancy, but actually enjoy it and thrive during pregnancy. That's what we want to see, you know, women who can not only get through their day and just make it through to the end so they could put their feet up on a couch, you know, and just be exhausted for the rest of the day. We want to see them enjoying themselves and really this very special period that could be a once in a lifetime experience like it was for me. So I cannot emphasize strength training enough and not just really, really little weights. Okay. Don't be thrown off by the fact that you're being told by a lot of the noise out there that you should only lift 3 or 5 pounds, right? If you're growing a belly and a baby that's going to be 20, 30, 35, 40 pounds, those little 3 pound weights are not really going to cut it. Okay. So I'm glad you're moving and use what energy you have to devote towards strength training and getting stronger.
That's amazing. That's really the best thing that you could say is thriving during pregnancy because people find it as this like downhill crash mode in their life where all they have to pick up and they have to recover and come out of, which is so true. But also it could be a time where you can really be strong and be stable and be there for your new family. And keeping your body healthy is the number one thing you can do about that. Mental health and physical health. You really can't go wrong if you have those two things in check. And I think it starts before pregnancy too. Like if you're thinking about getting pregnant, it is a big deal for your body to go through that change. So prepare before that. Go get checked out by a pelvic floor physical therapist or a prenatal fitness specialist. Go get checked out by your OBGYN to say, what are things that I can do to make sure things, basic things like my cholesterol or my hypertension is in check. So I'm not developing things like preeclampsia and all these other gestational diabetes and things like that. What are things that I can do to make sure that I'm staying healthy to prepare my body for it? Because like you said, it's an Olympic event. It is a thing that people are going to go through. So just like you would train for anything else, we need to be keeping our bodies in mind. And we need to make sure we know that while women have been doing this since the beginning of human beings have existed, we have the resources, we have the education, we have the evidence, and we have the science that's backing that the women back in those days had physical jobs. They were out in the fields. They were doing squats 20,000 times a day. They were climbing things and they were moving their bodies. And we're sitting in front of computers all day long doing work.
Yeah.
We can't possibly imagine that our bodies are ready for such a big event. And we need to make sure we're healthy. So I'm glad that there are resources like yourself, that there are organizations and companies like yourself that offer this. I hope and pray that you guys are spreading further outside of New York into other places as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic what you guys are doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And just to your last point there, labor is coming whether women prepare for it or not. So let's use that time most effectively and get into whatever mental mode you need to in order to get your body ready so that you can kind of be in sync in order to thrive during this period, but also to kick butt, you know, during delivery and then dive right into those very physical activities of new motherhood. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, you cannot be as effective a parent. So it may seem like you don't have the time or you don't want to devote the time because you have all these other things to get to in preparation for the baby's arrival, but nothing is more important than taking care of yourself for your own development, but also to optimize baby's growth and development and even into longer term physical and cognitive outcomes. We're seeing that the fitter moms produce fitter, healthier babies.
Yeah, this is so true. I couldn't touche that enough. Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Genuinely, I appreciate it.
I think you're a great soul, a great voice to speak for these women and going through your experiences and in your own pregnancy and being in the fitness world. I think this is a great way to really put all that together and help women. So thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you, Sneha. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone gained a lot of new information out of this episode. Please subscribe and review the show. It means the world. I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode.